I brought this because I sweat a lot, even with the air conditioning on. I'm here for one reason and one reason alone. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And because I see, I want everybody I run into, everybody, the grocery store clerk who says when they see me, here he comes again, the Walmart lady, the chicken guy at Royal Farms, my next door neighbor, my next door neighbor. If you've experienced God, that's a wonderful thing. If you know Him, of course, that's the ultimate. But there's something even more. It's called an encounter with God. The way you know you had an encounter with God, rather than just a good time singing, how many had a good time in worship today? They were awesome, yay. They were awesome. Here's how you know you had an encounter with God. It usually involves your emotions. It's hard not for it to not involve your emotions in some way. But it goes even deeper than that. You know you had an encounter with God, for when it is finished and you walk out that door tonight, whatever time I'm allowed to speak, I always go an hour over. Just kidding. Don't everybody get nervous. But when you walk out that door, if you talk the same, if you act the same way you did when you walk out as you did when you came in, are you different when you get up off your knees, when you cry out to the Lord and you worship Him? Are you different when you walk out that door? Because if you are, then you know you just had an encounter with God. You can't have an encounter with God without it changing you. I'm not much for fluffinutter. Am I aging myself with that? I don't know. Maybe. Well, I don't know. Miracle Whip. I'm not much for Miracle Whip. How's that one? I came here tonight because tonight's the night for you to encounter God. God spoke to my heart and He said He will encounter each and every one of you if you so ask Him to. Tonight you can have an encounter with God that will change you forever, because you will realize that He is the King forever. And as the song said, what did He do? He saved your life. If you don't know, really, that He saved your life, if it's a Bible story, Jen, good Bible story, but you don't know the consequences of sin, or you don't embrace those things, you won't realize what you've been saved from. It's just something else you add to your calendar. Go to church on Sunday, youth camp whenever it is. I don't even know what month it is, to be honest with you. I drove here all the way from Wildwood, New Jersey. Yeah, and I wasn't on the beach. I was working, so. But when you realize, oh, wretched man, young lady that you are, apart from Christ, when you realize that there is a punishment for sin because God is holy, I want you to say, God is holy. And he must judge sin. When you realize that what you really deserve, apart from Christ, is judgment. When you realize that without Christ, hell would have been your home. Or will be your home. When you realize these things, you have an encounter and you recognize your need for a Savior. And there's but one that is worthy. One that is worthy. And his name is Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. And when you really have that encounter, you know, you're not hanging on your mom and dad's coattails. They're saved, so I'm saved. You know what I'm talking about? I grew up in a church. How many young people tonight grew up in the church? Look at that. That's a beautiful thing, Gertie. But that won't save them. How many of you go to youth group at your church? Wonderful. What a beautiful thing. Beautiful. That won't save you. How many of you keep coming back to camp? How many love camp? Yeah. That won't save you. It didn't save me. I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church just like y'all. Camp. I even sang in the choir. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, I did. I can't help it. I knew all the stories in the Bible. I've heard them over and over again. But I was lost as lost could be. Why? Because I did not have an encounter with God. I didn't recognize that there is a penalty for my sin. It didn't come home for me. It was like, okay, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm just talking me here. And so my life went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'm aging myself again probably, you know. So tonight what I want to talk about with y'all, briefly, is an encounter with God. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's a special night. I'm not saying the nights prior to this. I don't know when you got here, what, Monday maybe? I'm sure they're all good. Praise God. Yeah, but tonight God's going to rock your world. God is going to, let me put it this way, and let's see if you all understand this. Tonight, your heart is God's threshing floor. Tonight, while I speak, there's a sifting going on within your heart. You will either respond to it or you will ignore it. Either way, the sifting, the threshing floor that your heart is right now, continues. Before you leave, I'm hoping everyone here will come to that place where they have that encounter with God and they don't go back out that door the same way they came in. I've seen that over and over and over again. I've been serving God for 30 plus years. Camps, detention centers, breakfast missions, homeless places, up here with Gertie, over wherever. And the thing that saddens me the most is when you see people that have been fed the things of God. The Spirit of God has even moved upon their hearts. And then my wife pokes me and she says, look what I found on Facebook. Let me get over here. I don't have Facebook. But when you look at Facebook, when my wife shows me Facebook of people that I've known for years, and you can't tell whether a Christian is posting or someone from the world is posting because they're dressing the same way as you see on TikTok, or they're acting the same way, or they're talking the same way, or I recently saw some kids that I love dearly down in Atlantic City drinking in a pool, half naked. I say naked, sorry. Naked. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit clearly is not there, because their hearts had become calloused to the things of God. They had not yet come to a place where they encountered the living God. And they hadn't realized, even though I thought they had, that apart from Him, they have no hope. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy to God. Did you hear what I just said? The Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. Now there's another Bible verse I like that says, if God be for you, how many know the rest of that verse? Who can be against you? But if I'm an enemy to the Lord, because I'm a friend of the world, I can quote all day long, if God be for me, who could be against you? And it will be to no effect. Somebody say amen. I like when somebody say, I'm a shouter in church. Yes, I am. We must come out from the world and be separate. Are there any young people today that are willing to make a stand for Jesus Christ? Oh, they'll lose friends. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love it. We got, hey, look. No. Oh, look, they're starting to raise their hands now, Gertie. Oh, that's like a wave effect. Let's do the wave. Ah. You'll lose friends. Trust me, when you get my age, you don't need them. I'm just going to give you give you a hint on life. When you get to my age, you realize you really don't need them. You'll see that you work so hard to keep ones that you really shouldn't be keeping anyway. You work so hard to fit in. Gertie, I'm sorry, I haven't even got to my notes yet. You work so hard to fit in. See, I work very hard not to fit in. Listen. Well, I'll be honest with you. I just don't fit in. It comes natural. It's a supernatural thing. But when I was young, I wanted to fit in. How many just kind of like to fit in, you know? I want to be in that group. They're so popular. And I want to dress like that because the boys will look at me. Well, the kind of boys that are looking at you like that, you don't want them anyhow. And you thought I had your back. I've been called lots of names. Jesus freak. Holy roller, that goes back a while, doesn't it? Man, what a holy roller. My praise, I don't know. You saw how I worship the Lord. I do that everywhere I go. And I've had Christians tell me, what's wrong with you? Yes. I had them say to me, it doesn't take all that. I've had them say to me, he's just showing off. Poor fella needs attention. That's from Christians. That's not even the world. Oh, ouch. Oh, I'm sorry. See, what happened with me was I had an encounter with God. And I want to read to you from Isaiah, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I want you to see what happened when Isaiah had a true encounter with God. What does it look like? What was his response to it? This encounter he had. What will your response be tonight if you encounter God? When you say, you know what, God, I worshiped you tonight. I declared you are my king forever. I lay my life down. How many sang that song tonight? Did you all or not? Forgive me, I don't get all the words right, but it was like, well, I lay my life down. What were the words? Do you know the song? Who knows the song?
I lay my life down, let your whole life shine. Let your whole love shine. Shine.
How many sang that song? Something like, I lift my hands, whole life down. Dirty, keep your eye on that one. Woo. Firecracker. Get that one on fire for Jesus and watch out. How many sang that tonight? Really sang it. So what? Did you mean it? You know what? You look like you did mean it. Did you mean it? Was it just a sweet, loving song? Or did you say, no, Jesus, I lay my whole life down. Even if it means I can't play the same games I used to play. It's getting quiet in here, Gert. I can't, because I laid my life down. I can't play that video game now because I know it grieves God. And I love God more than myself. I love God more than my video games because I had an encounter with him and I know it's wrong. I can't play that. I can't play that one anymore. I can't be a friend to Kim Kardashian on TikTok. This is the honest truth, though. I really don't know who she is. I just hear kids talking about her. That's the honest truth. And they talk about it so much and the things they say. I'm going to be honest with you. It really grosses me out. I remember my son came to me one time and said, oh, Dad, you ought to hear this guy. I'm like, his music's awesome. I'm like, yeah, who are you talking about? I'm like, Cody, I really wanted him to say, you know, like for me it was Andre Crouch. Oh, my gosh, I grew up with Andre Crouch. I just loved him. My son says, Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. I said, who is Lil Wayne? I don't even know who he is yet. I already want to beat him up. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Oh, I know how to fight the devil. Yes, I do. He showed me a... Let me see who this clown is. That's what I said. He showed me a picture of this lost soul who is really crying out for attention. See, my worship is not for attention. My worship is because I know what God saved me from. I know he saved me from a hell, and the hells are real. I know of a man down there. He's a rich man. He's a rich man down there. He's been down there for over 2,500 years. He's still crying out. God allowed me to hear it. He's still crying out for a cool drop of water to be placed upon his tongue, because the fire has not yet been quenched, and it shall never be quenched. See, that's real to me. Hell is real. And so I know what God saved me from, and my praise and worship is in a manner of such. And I try to encourage you to give your emotions to God. Give them to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move you while you worship. Surrender your emotions. I don't care what you think of me. I'm just using you as an example. Don't take it personal. I don't care what you think of me. You guys can go back to your cabin tonight and tell all kinds of funny stories about that crazy man in them porty shoes. I mean, some of y'all haven't noticed those shoes yet. They're pretty rocking. Whoa. I know you noticed them. I saw you staring at them. I caught you. I caught you. Look at them pointy boots. What's your name, son? Sammy? How old are you? Sammy? You being here is not a mistake, son. This is part of your destiny. Listen to me, y'all. This is all part of your destiny in Christ Jesus. God brought you here to change you so that you don't be like little Wayne or that trash Kardashian trash. They just need Jesus, y'all. But I'm here to tell you, you're not the one to lead them to the Lord. Trust me. You need to run like Joseph ran. You need to stay away from that stuff. Satan wants to pollute you before you even get out there in the real world. He wants to render you ineffective in the things of God before you get out there. Am I scaring you, honey? Do I smell? Jennifer, do I smell?
No, don't worry about her. She's afraid you're going to towel snap her.
See, I got to lighten it up a little bit here. You guys get to listen to me. You're here because God called you apart, not to be like the world. And if your friends are a part of the world, then you're with the wrong. Let me get out. You're with the wrong people. I'd rather walk down the hall at school alone. Listen carefully to me. I would rather walk down the hall at school alone, knowing that my life is pleasing to the one true God, the Lord of glory, the one who I learned this week, even more so, that he saved my life. I would rather walk down the hall alone, understanding that, than surrounded with a bunch of kids that are going to drag you, abandon you, drag you through the mud, abandon you. Listen, my youngest is 11-year-old. The drama... I have six children. The youngest is 11. I didn't know you could have so much drama at 11 years old. Is there, what's the age group? What age? Okay, who's 12? Who's 12? Who's 12? You're the youngest. Oh. So let me ask you, 12-year-olds. Are you full of drama? I'd rather walk down the hall, all kidding aside, by myself, singing in my heart one of the songs you sang maybe here tonight, humming it to myself. Maybe the kid will throw a paper ball at you and hit you in the back of the head. Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of it. Throw it at me. Go ahead. Don't matter. Run me out of town. I've been run out of churches, to be honest with you. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been run out of worldly places and holy places. Yeah. Because people today don't want to be told about sin in their life. They want to hear about the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. They want to live their life the way they want to live their life and just go to church on Sunday. Come to camp in July. We did establish July, right? We're in July, right? But the reason why you're here is because God wants more of you than that. Every one of you. Let me read this to you. What time is it, by the way? I got to watch the clock. Cause what time I have to be done? Nine? Preach on. Tell the person next to you, get ready. Tell the person next to you, get ready. Here it comes. There's nothing like the word of the living God. Gary and I were talking earlier. Listen, Jesus said the words. Listen to me. Eric. Young people, the flesh profits absolutely nothing. Do you hear what I just said? But Jesus said these words. The words that I speak, they are spirit, and they are, who knows, life. Life. So listen to the word of the Lord. Forgive me for my age. I got to put glasses on. Gertie's older than me, though. Oh, just saying. Just saying. Ouch. Shots fired. Isaiah chapter 6. If you're taking notes, please take it. If you got your Bible, open up. Isaiah chapter 6. Starting with verse 1. Say amen when you're ready. Quiet. Here we go. God's word. Be reverent, reverencing God's word here. Ready? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says this. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. He was high lifted up. And his train, his glory, it filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Oh, Gertie, you talked about this earlier. We shall behold such things. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. And with two he did fly. Listen to what they said. to each other. Listen to the conversation between the seraphim. Listen, you ready? To one another, they said, "Holy." Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth, excuse me, and he said, "Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Whew. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send?" I want you to hear the voice of the Lord tonight. I want it completely quiet. The Lord is saying tonight, "Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send into my school? Whom shall I send into these places that you go? Who will go?" And what was his response? "Here I am. Send me." I've been serving the Lord for over 30 years now. Before I was saved, I was this nasty biker on his way to hell, addicted to drugs and all that nonsense, even though I was brought up in the church for many, many, many years. That's why I said earlier, the church can't save you. Just because you go to Hopewell, or I don't know what other churches are here, I don't know, but the fact that you go there is not your salvation. So I strayed away from God. And my mission in life is not to tell my story so kids think it's cool. It's to share something with you, given to me by the Holy Spirit, so you don't stray away from the Lord. That you learn by my mistakes that I've made. And you make a decision, "I don't want to go that way. I surrender everything tonight. I give you my all. I want you to be my king forever. I don't want to go out that door the same way I came in. I don't want to go out." That's why I'm here. How do I know that there's a lot of pretenders out there? I'll tell you how you know. We talked about it. I already said it earlier. They pretend like they had this big encounter with God. But they're the same way when they leave. I've seen people, they get slain in the spirit, bouncing off the floor like a, whatever, I don't know. What was that? Yeah, good one, that's good. And everybody around them go, "Woo, God is moving. Woo, God is moving. Woo." Then they go out and they live the same life they did when they came in. See, I don't gauge what one's experiences might be by how true their walk with God is. The Bible says you will know them by the fruit that they bear. And if you had an encounter with God while you bounced off the floor, man, she's bouncing pretty high. You will not be the same when you go outside. There's a lot of pretenders in here. Tell your neighbor, "Don't be a pretender." I'll tell you what, even take it a little deeper. Take a little deeper. Tell your other neighbor, don't be a fraud. Be serious. Don't be a fraud. Now, tell yourself, don't be a fraud. I'm not picking on you. I get tired by the time I get here, and so I just stop. So don't take it personal. Don't be a fraud. If you want an encounter with God, get it tonight. It's here. It's here for you. What do I mean by it's here for you? That which you seek after. The power of the living God being made manifest within your life, within your heart, within your body, within your spirit. Not it, forgive me. He is here. I just got corrected by the Holy Ghost. That's pretty cool, ain't it? He is here to meet you. How many remember when you first got saved? Let me just share this with you. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus. I felt horrible, absolutely horrible. As I saw the Lord high and lifted up, as the gospel was shared with me, I felt horrible. All I could do was get as low as I possibly can in His holiness, in His presence. And the words might not have been exactly like Isaiah, but it was, woe is me. See, when you encounter God, the first thing, before goosebumps and everything else, that you will encounter is the conviction of sin. I saw the Lord, He is high and lifted up. Oh my gosh, His train fills the temple. And I got sin in my life. Woe is me. The word woe, let me give you woe means the sense of an impending doom. In the Greek, it means an impending doom. It means the wrath of God. How many here have any idea what that means, the wrath of God? Well, I only told a lie once in my life. I only looked at that one time. I only said that word twice in this day. I only looked at girls in a way that dishonors God once today. But there was no sense of, that grieved the Spirit of God, the one that saved me. And I need to ask forgiveness. What's lacking today is repentance. People no longer repent. I want to just be honest tonight. How many pray before you go to bed at night? How many of you pray? Be honest. I'm not here for condemnation. While you're praying, you don't have to lift your hands for this one. Is it something that while you pray, you're just saying a certain prayer? Or is the Holy Spirit revealing to you as you get before Him on your knees? I hope you don't lay on your back and do this. He's holy, He's holy, He's holy, He's holy, He's holy, He's holy. He deserves your utmost attention. Does the Holy Spirit begin to reveal to you the things that broke His heart that day? Do you have that kind of relationship where he says, you know, that really hurt me. That really hurt me. That really tore at my heart. I gave my life for you, and I'll love you forever. I'll never leave you or forsake you, but boy, that really hurt me. And the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you these things. I shouldn't have talked to my mom that way. How many are willing to say sometimes we talk to our parents in a way that does not honor them, which means it does not honor God? So at nighttime, do you say, Lord, forgive me for the way I talked to my mom today? Or do you say, yeah, but she, see, none of that matters. You had an encounter with God, and the way you talked to your mom dishonored the Lord. Am I right or wrong? Somebody honor your mother and father. So now while you're saying your prayers at night, you have this encounter. You had this encounter with God where that is no longer acceptable in your life because you don't want to do the same things you used to do, because while you were at camp, you had an encounter with a holy God. And all you want to do is please the one that saved your life. That saved your life. Let me be the one to tell you, everyone in this room deserves hell to be their eternal home. Every one of you. None of you have earned your way into a place called heaven. If it wasn't for the mercy of Almighty God, none of us would be here this night, let alone tomorrow. It's by the mercy of God that we are here. It's by the mercy of God that I'm able to stand before you and say, have an encounter with the living God, and don't allow sin to be brushed off as if it's nothing, and keep going to church and keep singing in the choir, but yet you really don't have a close and intimate relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't know Jesus. I thought I knew him over all those years. I even played the drums in the church. Judah, where's Judah? Did he leave? I played drums when I was in church, Gertie. I didn't know him. Have we forgotten that narrow is the path that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many go therein. See, I'd rather walk down the narrow hallway at school in a right relationship with God than with a group of kids that are on the broad path to destruction. If they're going that way, Gertie, I'm going this way. If they're okay with that, then I'm not okay with that. If they watch this, the ones that are on the broad path that leads to destruction, if that's the path they're on and that's what they're watching and doing and saying and singing, whoop, whoop. They're going to whoop, whoop all the way into hell if they don't stop. Little Wayne can have all kinds of gold braces, Gertie. What good is that going to do in hell? Have we forgotten that today? Have we become desensitized to sin? Do we even know what sin is in our life? How many of the young people here tonight? How many of you sinned today? Okay. Well, thank God for those hands. Now here comes the hard part. Only if you want to. What was your sin? I know not to ask you.
I got in God's way.
See how easy that was? See, if
I was rude to my mother.
Really?
This morning when I was frustrated with you.
I missed it.
Let me ask you this, honey. So now you feel bad, right? I don't mean guilty. You just feel the conviction of the Lord. I shouldn't have talked to my mom that way, right?
Me as a Gideon was too harsh on the Judas.
Anybody else? Listen, I don't want to embarrass. Don't say anything that you don't want.
I doubted myself, and I just let the devil kind of get to me about things that wasn't true about myself.
Wow. I got to find some brave guys over here. Who's brave over here? Who's not ashamed? You're in a holy place. I'll tell you what I did today, maybe. By the way, what is your name, son?
Daniel.
I knew it. For such a time as this, Daniel.
I decided for a second that God wasn't important in what we're doing. At that time was more important.
God took a back seat. How many are willing to say there's times in the course of every day where God takes the back seat? Amen. How many would say there's times in my day that he gets my leftovers? Let me say that again. That God gets your leftovers. Yeah. You see, when I'm hungry at night, I say to my precious wife, "What's for dinner?" What's for dinner? Amen. Let me say it the right way. I say it like this. What's for dinner, baby? Let's be honest. And she 99% of the time will say, "Oh, I made whatever it might be." My wife's from Romania, so boy, some of the dishes I get are amazing. But once in a while, she says, "I'm going to give you the leftovers." Wah, wah, wah. I even called her baby. Baby. I said, baby, you still get the leftovers. My point is, as you know, God wants your best. He don't want your leftovers. Oh, he'll take them, but it breaks his heart. He wants the best that you can offer him all the time. Hope I'm making sense tonight. I'm almost done. I'm tired. I haven't had dinner. And talking about my wife like that made me think, I'm getting kind of hungry. There was a time in my life when I actually cried out to the Lord and said, Jesus, if you're real, now's the time to show up. And I'll be honest with you, I had a 357 Magnum pointed at my head, and I was ready to take my own life. I was trying to work up the courage to end this miserable life that I had become. This church-going boy, this summer camp-loving kid. All I could think about, I wanted to die. I was spending $500 a day 30 years ago. Think about what it, on cocaine, $500 a day. I just wanted to die. John 10:10. The thief comes, but to rob, kill, and destroy. And that's where I was when I cried out, I need a Savior. Please help me. Please help me. I mean, I was sobbing in such a way. Can I just be honest with you? I mean, I was blowing snot bubbles. I was like, that's how uncontrollable it was. See, I was desperate. I was desperate. Woe is me, for I have become undone. I am a man of unclean lips, an unclean life, and all I wanted to do is die. If you're real, Jesus, show up. I'm going to share this with you because maybe it'll explain to you a little bit why I serve God and praise Him the way I do, and I don't need your attention. The whole room at that very moment in time, I wish I could say filled with smoke, but it didn't. Not every encounter is like the one of Isaiah's. But here's what I heard. I heard as clearly as I am speaking to you tonight. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. The room goes like this. I couldn't explain it to you then. I can explain it to you now. The room where I was filled with the glory of God. I put the gun down. I said, Jesus. 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 That was 30-some plus years ago. I've never touched a drug in my life since. Surrendered my life to Christ. I've never been to a rehab. See, the Spirit of God met me where I was, and I was desperate. How many are desperate here tonight to encounter God? You might not do drugs or all that, but sin is sin, and God hates it all. How many are desperate for God? You know, desperation has a sound. I can prove it to you. Desperation has a sound. There was this blind man on the side of the road. And he heard a lot of commotion coming his way. What is that commotion? What is all that noise? What's going on? Somebody said, Jesus, this man named Jesus is passing by. I heard a story about him. heard a story that he heals the sick. He raises the dead. He opens blind eyes. Oh, wait a minute. That man, Jesus, is passing by. He had a garment on. The garment was an official robe given to him by the priest that dedicated him as a real beggar. Yeah, let me show you. Hold it. The priesthood wanted to make sure that the real beggars were begging because they needed things to eat. And so they gave them a garment that designated them as an official. So people, when they went by, they said, oh, he's been approved by the priest to beg. The man starts shouting, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody around him, like some of your friends, maybe some of you even in this room, told that man, shut up. He don't have time for you. Oh, I love what the man did because I can relate to it. He shouted all the louder. You don't tell me to shut up. Jesus is passing by. Oh, no. The King of Glory. Oh, he even referred to him, thou son of David, which means he recognized he was the Messiah, the one to come. Jesus, thou son of, he got even louder. Listen to me. Tonight, some of y'all got to get louder. You got to quit worrying or caring what your neighbor says or your classmate says. Shut up about that Jesus stuff. Shut up. Shut up, oh, you religious freak, you. Oh, here she goes again. Here he goes again talking about Jesus. He cried all the louder. See, desperation, Gertie, has a sound. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that his greatest need was mercy. He could have said, Jesus, open my eyes. But he knew that the only thing that could open his eyes was the mercy of a living God. See, what you need tonight is mercy. Everything flows from the mercy of a living and almighty God. Bible says, he laid his garment aside. In other words, I don't need this anymore. I don't have to have the approval of my friends. Oh, my goodness. I don't need the approval of anyone else to be the way I am. I don't need that approval anymore. I lay my garment aside and I go. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still. How many want to get the attention of the Lord? How many here tonight want Jesus to stand? Oh, he'll walk all through here tonight. But let me tell you something. All of us, somebody in this room is going to get his attention, Gertie, like the blind man. Look, and he's going to stand still. Jesus. This man got the Lord's full attention. And guess what Jesus said? What wilt thou have me to do for you? Tonight, I'll close with this. Give it back over to Pastor Gertie, but I want people to listen. I'm going to make room here. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, no pretenders. But even if you think this is where you want to go and have an encounter with God, you need to get up here and get before God. You need to come to that place where Jesus whispers in your ear, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm miserable. I feel rejected. I'm hurt. I've been abused by family or friends. I'm so hurt that even young people today, they're cutting themselves. How many know what I'm talking about? Please, please, hear me. They cut themselves. And there's some in this room tonight that are cutting themselves. Because the thief cometh but to rob, kill, and destroy. That's not what God has for you. You are precious in His sight. He saved your life. Not so that you could reject Him and give Him leftovers or cut yourself. Jesus is in this room. He's saying to every young person that has an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, who's willing to be desperate. I don't care what the person sitting next to me thinks of me. I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what Gertie thinks of me. I don't care. But I know that I must meet Jesus, thou Son of David. Have mercy on me, because I don't want to be the same again. Open my eyes that I might see. If that's you, this is your place right up here. And as you feel led by the Lord, you come and expect an encounter from the one true God.